are listening to a message from Stonegate Church. For more information about Stonegate and additional audio resources, please visit stonegate.church.
Well, Stonegate, Merry Christmas to you. If you've got a Bible, go ahead and turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 is where we're going to be. And if you are new with us, I am so glad that you're here today with us as well. Here's what we're going to get the chance to do together. We're going to think about one sentence in the Gospel of John together. And this one sentence really does, in a lot of ways, just contain everything we need to remember during Christmas. So it's John chapter 3, a very familiar verse, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And I just want to sort of take that from the top and just think through that sentence with you. It starts like this, for God. So it's just allowing us to see there is a subject to the sentence. There is an actor in the sentence. Someone is doing something in John 3:16. And that someone is God. God is on the move. And what is God doing? Well, the verse goes on. For God so loved the world. You might underline the word so and the word world. For God so loved the world. Let's start with that word so. In the Greek, if you were reading that sentence, the word so would be the first word in the Greek sentence. And it's there at the very beginning of the sentence for the sake of emphasis. It's a way for Jesus to be able to say, this is not like a moderate love. It's not like God kind of loved the world. It's saying something about the intensity of the love of God. No, it's God so loved the world. It's that kind of love. It's a so kind of love. It's saying something about the intensity. And then you take that word world. If so shows the intensity of his love, the word world shows the size or the scope of his love. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read John 3:16, here is what I'm expecting this passage to say, this verse. I'm expecting it to go something like this. For God so loved the lovable. For God so loved the pretty. For God so loved the put together or the strong or the pure or the moral. But that's not what this verse says. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. That is Jesus looking at you and trying to reconvince you that this is who God loves, the broken and the beaten, the abused and the abuser, the oppressed and the oppressors, rebels, sinners, those who have made a mess of everything in their life, failures, that's who God loves, the weak, that's who God loves, the needy, the frail. That's who God loves. Those who feel absolutely worthless right now in their life, those are the very people that God loves. That's who God has not just loved, but so loved, because that's all there is in this world. People like you and me, that's all there is. And this is the type of people that God has so loved. For God so loved the world that he gave. This is what the love of God does. This is what it looks like in action. If you want to think about what does God's love look like as it shows up in this world, this is what it looks like. It looks like a giving love. In response to rebellion and sin and weakness and human frailty, here is what God does. He opens up his hands, and in the greatest act of generosity that's ever been, God gives. For God so loved the world that he gave. You've never met a person more generous than God. And what did God give? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. This is what we're celebrating at Christmas. When you go to sleep tonight and you get up in the morning, this is the thing that we are celebrating on Christmas Day. The fact that God didn't just give, but God gave his very best. God gave what was most precious to him. He opened up his hand and he gave his beloved son, Jesus. There's nothing in the universe more valuable than Jesus. There is nothing more precious that God could give you, nothing more valuable that God could give you than the person of Jesus. Just think about how the Gospel of John reveals Jesus to us. In John chapter 1, Jesus is God. John wants to tie that together. This is who we're talking about. It is God wrapping on human flesh. That's Jesus. In John chapter 6, he's called the bread of life. He is the satisfier of our souls. In John chapter 10, he is the good shepherd. The good shepherd walks us into what life really is meant to be, life and life to the full. In John chapter 11, he's the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in him, Jesus says, they're going to die one day, but they're going to live again. That is the person that God has given you, his beloved son, Jesus. So can I just remind you on this Christmas Eve, friend, if you have Jesus, you have everything. If you have Jesus, you really do have everything. You may not have a thing in your bank account, but you still have everything if you have Jesus. God has given you his very best, what's most valuable, the one who satisfies that deep ache in us, the one who reconciles us to God, the one who invites us and makes a way back into the family of God, the one who secures that incredibly bright future in heaven with God forever. That is what God has given you in the person of Jesus. Have you ever asked yourself the question, and I don't know if this question has space in you. It's got space in me. I think about this question. It kind of pops up and flares up in my heart periodically. And the question goes something like this: God, do you really love me? I mean, I know you love that person over there. I can tell that. But do you really love me, God? And friend, if that question ever flares up in you, Christmas is God's answer to that question. God's proof that he loves you happened a couple of thousand years ago when he sent his beloved son into this world as a little baby. And then his beloved son grew up into the perfect man who perfectly stood in every moment that you have fallen. And then God's beloved son allowed himself to be nailed to a tree for you, where God the Father has graciously given his son to you, for you, his life for your life. This is the generosity of God. It is the proof that God really does love not just the world, but he really does love you, Christian. He really does love you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that. That's a statement of purpose. So it's going to connect the first half to the second half. But why did God give his beloved son? It's for this reason, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. One of the things I love about John 3:16 is it just makes everything simple for us. Jesus is trying to show us that, hey, everyone is going to spend somewhere forever. And here are the two options for every human being. The two options go like this. Option one is eternal life, like life with God forever, life in God's place, with God's people, with God himself forever. Jesus opens up the door for that, God is saying, to eternal life. That's option one. Here's the second option for every human being. It's to what Jesus says in this text, it's to perish. To perish is the opposite of eternal life. You could think about that as eternal death. It is away from God, away from God's people, away from everything good. Those are the two options. It's eternal life or perish. Now, what's the difference between the two? How do we go from perishing forever to eternal life with God forever? How do we get from here to there? And Jesus is really clear in this text. It's not you being good. It's not by you being a moral person. It's not by you going to church. It's not by you being in like the top 10% of the people out there in morality. That is not what Jesus says. Here's what Jesus says. Here's how you go from perishing to with God forever, eternal life. Whosoever believes in him. That's how. Believing in the person of Jesus. Sometimes people will periodically, they'll ask me this question, is Christianity exclusive? And my response is, well, yes and no. I'll say something like this. The Bible teaches that Christianity is fully inclusive while being exclusive. It's a fully inclusive exclusivity. That's what the Bible teaches. So we often sum up the good news of Jesus like this. We're all idiots. That's just a way of saying we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all failed, right? We're all idiots, part two. We have an incredibly bright future in Jesus. So there is a bright future for all of God's people as long as they are in Christ. It's not just anywhere. It's not just in any person that that incredibly bright future is secure. That's the exclusive part. It is in Christ that we have an incredibly bright future. And then here's the third part. Anyone can get in on this. That's the inclusive part. This is Christianity. Christianity is open to all. Anyone can get in on this. There's an invitation for everyone. Whosoever believes in him, if you want Jesus, take him. It's an invitation to all. It's open to all. Only those who refuse Jesus are excluded. So friend, can I just plead with you, take Christ. Put your faith in him. Receive him. Throw your life on him. Maybe you could think about Christmas like this. God on Christmas comes to the world and says, can we make this deal? Would you be humble enough to open up your hands and let me take your sin from you? Would you admit your sin and humbly open your hands and let me take your sin? And if you'll do that, I'll take your sin and I'll credit it to Jesus's account. I'll take it from you and put it onto Jesus. Would you do that? Would you make that deal? Would you let me take your sin from you? And then he says, here's part two. For everyone who'll say yes to that, he'll say, okay, here's the second part of the deal. Would you keep your hands open in an act of humility, in an act of faith, and would you allow me to take Jesus's perfect record of righteousness and give it to you? Would you let me take your sin from you, put it onto Jesus, his perfect righteousness, and would you allow me to put it into your account, credit it to you, so that now every time I look at you, I see you through the lens of Jesus. Would you be humble enough to make that deal? And for everyone who says yes, then God says, welcome to the family. Welcome to eternal life with me, my place, my people, and my presence forever. This is what I love about John 3:16. It just simplifies everything for everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.